Chapter 14. The Discovery. Later that evening, Bruff arrived at Blake's house. Blake told him what had happened during his meeting with Rachel.
"Now," said Bruff, "you say you are sure that Rachel has told the truth. You cannot blame her for believing that you are guilty, although we know that there has been a terrible mistake. Let's think about what we know. I think that the Moonstone was given to Mr. Looker as a guarantee for a loan of money. It is now in Mr. Looker's bank. We are now in the month of June, and at the end of this month, it will be a year since the diamond was stolen. I believe that the person who used the diamond as a guarantee for a loan will come to repay the loan. Mr. Looker will have to take the diamond out of the bank and give it to him. I suggest that we find somebody to watch the bank between now and the end of the month to see if Mr. Looker takes the diamond out."
Blake agreed. The following day, Blake received a letter from Betteridge. "To Mr. Franklin Blake, I have received a message from Mr. Ezra Jennings, the assistant of Mr. Candy, the doctor. You may remember Mr. Candy from Miss Rachel Verinder's birthday party last year. Mr. Jennings told me that the doctor has asked to speak to you urgently when you are next in Fritzing Hall. Mr. Candy is very ill. He caught pneumonia while walking home in the rain on the night of Rachel's birthday party, and over the past year his health has become much worse. Your loyal servant, Gabriel Betteridge." Blake went to Fritzing Hall immediately. Even after reading Betteridge's letter, Blake was shocked how much Mr. Candy had changed. His hair was completely grey, and he looked much older. His body was thin and weak. The doctor was pleased to see Blake, but he was a little confused. He told Blake that he had something to tell him about the birthday party, but he could not remember what it was. Blake stayed for a while, but the doctor soon became tired, so he left. When Blake reached the hall downstairs, he went to see Mr. Jennings, the doctor's assistant.
"It appears that Mr. Candy's illness was far more serious than I thought," said Blake sadly. "He was trying to speak to me, but he couldn't remember very much."
"It is a miracle that he lived through his illness," said Jennings. "But it is very difficult for him to remember what has happened in the past. However, there is a way of discovering Mr. Candy's memories by looking at notes of what he said to me while he was very ill. During this time, I sat beside him and wrote what he said." Blake began to explain to Mr. Jennings what he had found out since his return to England. Jennings was very excited.
"Stop,"
he said. "Have you ever used opium?"
"I have never tasted it in my life,"
replied Blake, looking confused. "Were your nerves disturbed this time last year? Were you unusually restless?" asked Jennings.
"Yes."
"Did you sleep badly?"
"Very badly. On some nights I didn't sleep at all."
"Was the night of Rachel Verinder's birthday party different? Do you remember how you slept that night?"
"I do remember. I slept well," exclaimed Blake.
"I'm sure, Mr. Blake, that I know what Mr. Candy wanted to say to you. I also think that I can prove that you didn't know what you were doing when you took the diamond."
"Please continue," urged Blake.
"Now," said Jennings, "you have already told me that you have never tasted opium."
"Correct."
"Can you explain why your nerves were in such a bad condition last June?"
"I had stopped smoking because it bothered Rachel. I used to smoke quite a lot before then."
"My next question," said Jennings, "is, did you and Mr. Candy ever argue over the use of medicine?" Blake suddenly remembered the silly argument which he had had with Mr. Candy during the birthday dinner. It had been about using medicine to help him sleep better.
"Yes," he said, at the dinner for Rachel's birthday last year.
There is one more thing, said Jennings. Did you have any reason for being worried about the diamond this time last year?
I had strong reasons. The diamond was part of a Hindu superstition, said Blake. I was worried about giving it to Rachel.
Jennings picked up a book and looked through it until he found a particular page. Mr. Blake, he said, please read this. Blake looked at Jennings for a moment and began to read. Mr. Franklin Blake is pleasant and clever, but he thinks a little too much of himself. When he told me about his sleeping problem, and I suggested that he take some medicine to help him, he said that taking medicine and feeling in the dark were the same thing. He really wanted to sleep, so I gave him a small amount of opium without him knowing to help him. I took the opium from Lady Verinder's medicine chest. I was going to go and see him in the morning. I wanted to tell him the truth. I wanted to say, "What do you say about the art of medicine now?" Blake sat, with the book in his hand, completely shocked and silent. "Try and forgive poor Mr. Candy," Jennings said gently. "I admit that he has caused terrible trouble. But if you look at the notes, you will see that he was planning to return to Lady Verinder's house the next morning to tell you of the trick he had played on you. Unfortunately, he did not get the chance because he became ill that night. However, I'm sure that the night you took the diamond from Miss Verinder's sitting room, you were under the influence of opium. You had no idea what you were doing." Blake jumped to his feet.
"Let us show Sergeant Cuff these notes at once," he shouted.
"Unfortunately, we cannot use them to prove anything, because I wrote them myself with no witnesses when Mr. Candy was talking during his fever," said Jennings. "But your innocence can be proved, and you are the one who can do it."
"How?"
asked Blake. "Are you willing to take part in an experiment?"
"Just tell me what to do and I'll do it," Blake exclaimed.
"Are you smoking regularly again?" asked Jennings.
"Yes."
"Are you willing to stop the habit again?"
"I will stop from this moment,"
said Blake, who was beginning to guess what Jennings was going to say. "If you stop smoking, you will find it difficult to sleep again. If we make the Verinder house look the same as it did on the night of Miss Verinder's party, and I give you the same dose of opium, you will probably repeat what you did that night. This time, however, we will be watching you. Maybe you have hidden the diamond, but you cannot remember where." Blake agreed to take part in the experiment and asked Jennings to make all the necessary arrangements. Jennings wrote a letter to Betteridge, asking him to make the house look like it had been for Rachel's party. He wrote that Blake must sleep in the same room as he had that night. Blake asked Jennings to write to Rachel as well, telling her about the experiment, and Jennings said he would. The following day, Mr. Jennings received a reply from Rachel. She wrote that she now believed that Blake was innocent and asked if she could be present at the experiment. Jennings wrote back to Rachel. He told her that Blake must not know that she would be in the house during the experiment because it may affect his behavior during the night. He advised her to arrive at the house at 9 p.m., when Blake would already be in his bedroom. When Betteridge heard about the plan, he was not happy. He was shocked that Mr. Jennings wanted to play a magic trick on Mr. Blake. However, he assured Mr. Jennings that he would not say anything to Miss Rachel. As a loyal servant, he did what he was asked to do. Jennings also received a letter from Miss Clack. She wrote that she had heard about the plan, and she did not think that Rachel should come, unaccompanied, to a house full of men. Jennings replied that Miss Clack was welcome to accompany Rachel if she wished. Jennings then sent a letter to Sergeant Cuff. He explained the experiment, and wrote that Cuff would be a valuable witness. Cuff wrote back that he would not be able to come to the house to see the experiment because he had to go to Ireland. He wrote that he was not sure that the experiment would prove anything, but that he was happy to help find the diamond afterwards. Finally, Jennings sent a letter to Mr. Brough, who agreed to be present as a witness to the experiment.